plurality, media plurality, has disappeared worldwide. And this is a private company, Google, that acquired YouTube some years ago for an extraordinary amount of money. And by doing so, basically took over the global video hosting community. They basically took it over. I mean, it should never have been allowed. Competition regulatory bodies or pro-competition regulatory bodies should have said, well, sorry, Google, you're the biggest search engine in the world. Nobody cares about plurality anymore. This is what's going on. You're well aware, Sarah, that six corporations, we can name them, General Electric, Warner, Disney, we can name the rest of them. They own 96% of the world's media, which isn't television and radio. It's television, it's radio, it's magazines, it's video games, it's films, it's television drama. That's what's been allowed to happen. And because when responsible, qualified, professional content creators make content that is fair and balanced and reasonable, and if they can be, you know, deleted in the blink of an eye, it can happen to absolutely anybody.
Welcome to Business Game Changers. I'm Sarah Westall. Today, I have Richie Allen joining the show. As many of you know, his channel was shut down by YouTube. And I got to tell you, when I heard that, my heart just sank. And the reason why it bothered me so much is because he's so professional in the way he does it. He takes topics that the mainstream media will not cover, and then he'll deal with it in a very professional, journalistic way. He's a trained journalist, and he does journalism for topics that are so desperately needed to be discussed that mainstream media won't do. And so I ask him about this. I ask him where people can get his radio show now that it's being taken down by YouTube. He actually has a huge following on his radio show, so it's actually much smaller than it was on YouTube. So for him, it's not affecting him much, but he'll tell you his story, and we'll get into that. And I just got to say that I've said this before, freedom of speech is so important. It's a hallmark of a civilized society. Without freedom of speech, you lose civilization. You lose an evolved community. You lose what makes you a civilization. You digress into barbaric behavior and dictatorships and oppression. And it doesn't matter who you're taking the freedom of speech from, who you're censoring. In the end, it'll affect you too. And it comes down to whoever has the most power reigns. And that's why it's so important that censorship does not occur. I realize YouTube is a private company, but at this point, it's a utility. Mass is a private company. I'm sorry, YouTube, but you really are, for the common good of our country, you shouldn't be censoring. And you've moved past that. And maybe you have naive young people that are programming robots for you and AI that are doing things they don't realize how they're taking away their own freedoms and how it's hurting their family and their kids' future because they don't understand yet. They're too naive. Just like using all the kids to go out there and fight for gun control because they're naive, they don't understand, they haven't formed their own opinions yet. But taking away our freedoms of speech is, in essence, taking away civilization. But before we get into the interview, as you get older, you lose a percentage of your brain. Your brain shrinks. You get those senior moments, and you walk in your room, and you forget why you were there. And we have a link here below, and you can figure out how to reverse that process and regain your memories before they're lost forever, and you can't get that back. And you can. There's three common habits that you can do, and they have a free documentary or informational series to show you what you can do to stop that process and reverse it. And so I have the link below. So let's get into the interview now with Richie Allen. Hi, Richie. Welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me, Sarah. It's really good to be here. Thank you.
I got to tell you, when I heard that your channel went down, I was so bummed. And, you know, there's all sorts of channels that are going down, but Yours really bothered me. And the reason why is because you were so professional. I listened to the show that you did that they put a strike on. And I was like, what? You were playing devil's advocate. You were taking both sides. While you might not cover, while you might cover things that the mainstream media might not cover, you do it in such a professional way. And it's so important. And it hit my gut.
That's very kind of you to say that, Sarah. Yeah, I mean, for your audience who've never heard of me, I come from a commercial radio background. I'm a real journalist, former holder of a National Union of Journalists card. I've been broadcasting for years, producing programs for other presenters. And yeah, I would take a very mainstream type approach to some of the subjects that the mainstream doesn't cover. So I would cover these subjects, but also I bear in mind that a lot of the people who listen to my radio programs, they think we're pretty kooky or pretty crazy. So you got to bear that in mind, and you try and be professional. You try and ask questions of people and don't let them away with making sweeping statements about terrorist attacks or whatever. Dig down a bit deeper into finding out, is there any credibility to what they're saying? I wasn't surprised at what happened last week when the YouTube channel was deleted. I'm glad you noted that of the interviews that they said they weren't happy with, two of them were actually recorded over 2 years ago, which is kind of funny, really. And in one of them, one of my guests was stating unequivocally that he didn't believe there was anything suspicious about a shooting in Virginia back in 2015. So it's kind of strange to be told that you've breached cyberbullying and harassment guidelines, when in fact the examples they cited, certainly there wasn't any cyberbullying or harassment. What's happened, Sarah, is plurality, media plurality, has disappeared worldwide. And this is a private company, Google, that acquired YouTube some years ago for an extraordinary amount of money. And by doing so, basically took over the global video hosting community. They basically took it over and they decimated other platforms like Dailymotion and others. And they basically became, I mean, it should never have been allowed. Competition regulatory bodies or pro-competition regulatory bodies should have said, well, sorry, Google, you're the biggest search engine in the world. It's absolutely outrageous that you should be allowed by, which at the time was, YouTube was the biggest video hosting platform in the world, but it wasn't as big as it is now. So what's happened is everybody uses it. I mean, I make a live radio program and it's archived on various other websites, podcast hosting websites. So I was never a YouTube program. I just put some images on, or my editor did put some images on the interviews, and we popped them up there just as another avenue. But it was always going to be the way, Sarah, that it was always coming down the line that as authority became increasingly worried about the growth of an alternative or an independent media, and as that independent media got more popular and started to become, it was never, we don't get the numbers that CNN, Comcast, 20th Century Fox, but it's growing and growing and growing. It was always going to be the case that somewhere along the line, they were going to say, right, well, let's see if we can, you know, put a halt to this gallop. They're a private company. They're well within their rights to say, look, we provide a free video hosting platform to you. We don't have a contract with you. We don't charge you anything for it. You can host your videos with us so long as we feel that you're not offending us in any way. Then they say you're offending us in some way, and then they say we're terminating your account, goodbye. And I've got news for your viewers, Sarah, and you've a huge platform yourself. You've got a lot of people watching you and listening to you. Forget about suing these people. Forget about crying about First Amendment right breaches and all of that. They can do whatever it is they want to do because they don't have a contract with you. So I would say to anybody who's making, whether it's podcasts, whether it's writing blogs, whatever it is, get your own websites. If you want to use other video hosting platforms, fine, but get back into, it's almost like going back to the future. get back to having your own website, your own space where you can publish, whether it's articles, whether it's videos, whatever, saying what it is you feel that you want to say, or even using your own website as a way of hosting other people. But don't be dependent on, you know, platforms like Google or YouTube, because what's happened to us, and I'm no martyr, by the way, I don't, you know, I haven't been particularly bothered by what happened. I could see it coming. What's happened to us will just keep happening to others. And we'll get to the point where people uploading to YouTube won't be uploading content that is critical of authority, that has ideas about, you know, alternative living, alternative health, alternative finance. That's where we're going. So, yeah, bit of a nuisance last week, because I don't like being accused of something I didn't do. Nobody does. But ultimately, Sarah, we could see it coming, and here it is.
Well, but I have a question for you. When is it that somebody is so powerful that it becomes more of a utility, and yeah, it's for the common good of the people? And if we are in a situation where the common good is being, you know, suppressed, then what do we do? Do we fight back, or do we create another common good platform? And how do we make sure that that platform has the viewership and isn't considered, well, that's where all the nuts go?
Yeah, it's a really good question. You know, when people have spoken about this in the last few days, they've said that because Google was allowed to acquire YouTube, and because of that phenomenal growth over the years, it has become almost state-like in terms of its power. You know, it certainly has a monopoly. It did, because Google got YouTube, it did basically wipe out other video hosting platforms that were good. I mean, I'm old enough to remember. You say to somebody under 25 now, Dailymotion, they'll laugh in your face. What's Dailymotion? You know, but I remember Dailymotion. I remember MySpace and other places like that when I started out. You're making a very good point. Is there an argument to be made that because of the size of it, because people don't really have anywhere else to go to upload video content, can people claim that, well, they should be regulated, that they shouldn't be able to say, well, we don't like what you're saying, so we're going to make spurious claims and delete your content? That's a very good question. But sadly, Sarah, you know, look, I've been in the media for years and years and years. Today, we're talking about Comcast offering £22 billion to buy Sky News, which already has an offer on the table from 20th Century Fox. Nobody cares about plurality anymore. This is what's going on. You're well aware, Sarah, that six corporations, we can name them, General Electric, Warner, Disney, we can name the rest of them, they own 96% of the world's media, which isn't television and radio. It's television, it's radio, it's magazines, it's video games, it's films, it's television drama. That's what's been allowed to happen. Good luck to Alex Jones and others who say that they're going to take some sort of class action against Google because Google can't do what it is doing because it should be some sort of public service platform. It should be, but it isn't. And the same people who allowed Google acquire YouTube, which is disgustingly anti-competitive, they'll be the same people listening to Alex Jones and others crying about, oh, they can't do this to us. They can do this to us. Well, this is a sad thing, right?
Yeah. Well, and it'll take years to get a class action lawsuit to actually work. But we were able to take down AT&T and split it up, and we were able to do things in the past. So I think it's a reasonable thing to go forward and do it. It's just in the meantime, you can't count on it. I mean, it's going to take a while.
It is. And you know, your content, and I'm not here to kiss your backside and blow smoke at you, but your content is professionally produced and it's fair and it's balanced. And you speak to people who have very many different opinions about politics, geopolitics. It's not going to matter. I mean, you asked a very smart question a couple of minutes ago. What are we going to do in the meantime? Because when responsible, qualified, professional content creators make content that is fair and balanced and reasonable, and if they can be, you know, deleted in the blink of an eye, it can happen to absolutely anybody. You know, it's interesting that some of those who were commenting, James Corbett, who James has always been a responsible broadcaster, makes content, of course. James is based in Japan, and he noted, you know, James is very quick to note that some of the stuff they said was bullying or harassment actually wasn't. In fact, it was not. It was somebody saying, well, look, this wasn't a staged event. This was something that was very real. So it seems that algorithms are searching and scouring content for certain phrases and keywords, and there isn't a human being at the other end of it saying, right, false flag, what does that mean? Oh, well, no, in this instance, the presenter and the guest were kind of mocking of those who were claiming that it was a false flag. Therefore, we shouldn't give a community strike on this video. But no, because it's pretty much artificial intelligence, because somebody said false flag in the interview, well, that's a strike, you're gone. So people need to prepare themselves for it. They really do. And Sarah, we saw this last year. You know, some of us were beginning to get to a space where through using Google AdSense and YouTube, some of us were getting to a place where we were just about able to cover the costs of our programs. Now, I make a nightly live radio program. It's a 2-hour live show. There's an enormous amount of work that goes into doing that. It's a full-time job. And we, towards the end of 2015, in around the mid part of 2016, we saw that because of our healthy viewing figures, okay, well, we can make a small living out of this. And of course, what we saw last winter was Google put a stop to that, blaming mega corporations don't want their advertisements appearing on whatever shows it is. And then, of course, we were basically demonetized. That was a siren call at that time. I mean, that was the beginning. You know, people should have seen there and then, well, look, they've basically just said all of these programs can't make money on our platform anymore, while ironically, mainstream news organizations putting out what they call fake news all the time about Russia and about Syria and stuff like that. I mean, it's laughable. You'll be aware, Sarah, today of the garbage being spewed out by Sky News and Fox News about Syria and about Bashar the Terrible, who's murdering babies. You know, if you dry that one out, you could fertilize the lawn with it, as Ferris Bueller's sister said many years ago. It's absolutely true. I mean, this is the essence of fake news. And yet these content creators upload to YouTube. And if you go to YouTube now, watch a Fox News video, watch a CNN video, watch a Sky News video, you'll see 3 or 4 advertisements on them. So that's where we are with it. And we just have to box a bit more clever. We have to invest more time in our websites, upload our videos to our websites. It's not cheap in some cases, but try and find a way of doing that. Use the free podcast providers, but drive people to your website, because for the time being, that's where they can't get you. Now, I know you're going to come back at me and say, well, Richie, eventually they'll start going for the hosting, for the hosters. Yeah, of course they will. But we'll cross that bridge, I think, when we come to it, Sarah, you know. Have you had any strikes, Sarah?
I did.
Have you had any?
I got a strike yesterday. And
oh, was it yesterday? Yeah, for what?
And it was an interview that I did with Robert David Steele 4 months ago. And it was the third time they striked that same video. Right. Two other times they striked it and then reversed it. And now they striked it and kept it at this point. And I'm like, why? I already appealed it twice and you were fine with it. Why now?
Why now? Yeah. Well, of course, Robert David Steele is somebody that you should be interviewing because he's a former CIA analyst. And if a former CIA analyst has a position on geopolitical events, whatever that is, he's entitled to be heard because of the nature of the job that he did. Even if he does say, well, I don't believe this event happened or whatever. He's entitled to say that. You know, he's earned the right to say that. It's a good interview to do. I know you've spoken with him before. And it's that sort of thing that's going to be struck, you know?
Yeah, what is wrong with questioning stuff? If they see an anomaly, there, like the Florida shooting, there was a teacher that was on the morning news, and the SGT Report, excellent video, where he shows her talking about this, why is the police here? There's a man in a mask and full body armor, and he's shooting bullets all over the place down the hallway. Yeah. Why are we not questioning? And then there's four men coming out and then into the, you got to watch that report. It was excellent that he did. Four men coming out, going in the white pickup truck, carrying this black bag that looks like it was probably weapons, leaving the scene. Now, you know, we're not saying it's that you made everything up, but what is this?
Absolutely right. I got sent that CNN clip from a friend of mine called Phil in Florida, and he said, have a look at that. And it is a strange thing. It's a very strange thing for the teacher to say. And it does, in ways, contradict other things that have been said. Therefore, it has to be questioned and it has to be analysed. You're quite right. She clearly states that she encountered somebody top to toe in Kevlar with the mask. You know, that sounds very much like some sort of riot police person or, you know, heavily armed SWAT person or whatever. And of course it should be questioned. And nobody should have to keep qualifying their honest questions. And see, this is the kind of, exactly. They've boxed this into this place where we have to almost keep apologizing for asking questions. So you ask a very good question there. Why did the teacher say that? Oh, and I'm sorry, I'm not saying it didn't happen. We shouldn't have to do that. It's a simple question. Why are we not digging down deeper into what the teacher was saying? I mean, look at this stuff in Las Vegas last summer. I mean, give me a break, you know. There's clearly video showing shooting coming from another floor. There's video of people saying that some young girl came into the crowd to warn them that something very deadly or something very serious is going to happen. There's so many things there that need to be asked. Like, please show us some CCTV footage of the man in the casino. At least show us that there is video to prove that he at least checked into the, you know, into the casino. These are just basic questions. And you don't have MSM outlets asking these questions. And what you have now is, you have an artificial intelligence program working on Google, YouTube, that's seeking to eliminate those people who are asking those questions, even when they are not, you know, being rude or unkind to people or asking questions. I mean, I had Fetzer on talking about David Hogg, but I said, look, I'm not buying into this thing that David Hogg isn't real. He is real. Obviously, he's taken the opportunity to put forward his own personal agenda, his own personal feelings about guns. And we've seen him do that before. But, you know, once Hogg has gone public, he's a young lad, David Hogg. I'm always reluctant to get too stuck into, you know, younger people. He's young, but he's put himself out there and he said things. So once you've put yourself out there publicly and said things, you have opened yourself up to being challenged on those positions. And on why you're coming out so strongly with those positions. But it seems that when, you know, we are now, whatever it is, the 28th of February today, where these artificial intelligence programs are now looking for that content and are seeking to either shadow ban it, making it so that very few people see it, or deleting it completely and warning the creator, keep it up and we'll be parting company. And that's just going to continue, I think. Well, nothing is going to stop that.
Don't you think that not questioning it just encourages this type of behavior that we keep seeing? I mean, it's to the point where they're laughing at the alternative media saying we can do whatever we want.
Yeah, you're right. You've got to look, anybody, listen, if my channel had not been deleted last week, I can promise you that my content wouldn't have changed in any way because I've seen other people get banned. I would just keep uploading my interviews and expect to get banned. You're right. You know, people shouldn't tailor their content now, you know, to suit the Google algorithms. You've got to keep doing what it is that you believe in and interviewing the people you want to believe in. And just wait to get deleted. That's really it. You
exactly.
know what I mean? But in the meantime, keep doing what you do, right?
Because you can't question. You can't stop questioning why there's people in military gear shooting people in
no,
the school.
No, you can't.
That is so important for us to know and to question that. And you know, The average person laughs. My daughter has a teacher in her school that was laughing because some people think this is a false flag. And I don't know what it is, but the questioning of it is really important when there's things like that going on.
Yeah.
And the average
You're
person
right,
is
Sarah.
Laughing.
You're right. You're right, because the young man, when he was arrested, he didn't have any Kevlar on him. He didn't have any military-type gear in terms of uniform on him. He did not. And there has been no suggestion that when he was shooting, if he was shooting, that he was wearing that sort of gear. So somebody was wearing that gear and somebody was firing on people, at least according to this teacher, who was articulate and was pretty sure exactly about what she was saying. So therefore, these are questions that must be asked. But what have you got in the United States? You've got the same as we have here. I think Tucker Carlson, to his credit, continued for a little while anyway to question some of the anomalies about Vegas. But outside of that, Sarah, you know, the CNN people, when they interview that teacher, I mean, it is wretched journalism. It is wretched interviewing. Not to say to her, wow, really? Because Cruz didn't have that sort of equipment on him when he was arrested. Wow.
Hello? Use your critical thinking.
Yeah.
Are you yeah. actually a citizen of this country? Do you care that this happened? Yeah. You know, what's wrong with those people? Is money that important to them? I mean, I don't know.
It is. I mean, I earned a good living when I worked in commercial radio. The last job I was offered, Sarah, was back in the summer of 2014. And I was offered a very good job with a very well-known radio station. And the money was serious. It was serious money. You know, I mean, it is serious money. Now, I wouldn't have been telling lies in terms of I wouldn't have been doing a political show. They wanted me to do a breakfast news, sports, entertainment program. So I would have been talking about America's Got Talent and Britain's Got Talent. I would have died of boredom within 6 months and probably thrown myself off the nearest bridge. But the money was serious.
Yeah,
yes, these people earn serious money.
And I'm like you. I have to do what feels right for me, and I could be making serious money too. But
yeah, absolutely.
I know.
And we're not martyrs. Look, I'm no martyr either. You know, I live with a woman who has a good job. And, you know, I, over the years, you know, money never meant anything to me. It was always about the fun of doing what I do. But I'm no martyr turning stuff down. I've always been, I started off as a music presenter, but I became a producer of talk radio and then a presenter of talk radio. I could never go back to presenting music-based programs, much as I love music. You know, I do want to speak to people who have got something interesting to say about things. It's funny that back in 2014, when I was applying for jobs with talk-based stations, you know, they were giving me a wide berth because of my associations over the years with, you know, people like Jim Mars and rest in peace, of course, and others. But yeah, you know, people have just got to keep being honest with their output and their content. Don't tailor it to suit Google or YouTube. And if the inevitable happens that you're either shadow banned out of existence or they just delete your channel, suck it up, be confident in your own ability and in your own skill set, and drive people towards your own website. It's so important. Hayden Hewitt, who is one of the founders of LiveLeak.com, which is one of the biggest websites in the world, who's my friend and colleague here in Manchester. Hayden has been telling people for years, you crazy people, stop, you know, moving everything to Facebook. I mean, Sarah, the amount of people who left their own websites disappear because of Facebook, because they thought they had a free, lovely, user-friendly website on Facebook. No, you didn't. You did not. Got to have your own website. Get off, you know, this idea. You know, we're kind of umbilical cord kind of hooked up to Facebook and Twitter and Google. And I think we've got to accept that through those platforms, there will always be a limit to who you can reach. Because look, Sarah, you know, as articulate and as smart as you are, Google makes damn sure that the only people who see your content are people that are out there looking for your content. That is in no way to pass comment on you. I would watch you and listen to you all day long, but they're making sure that the perplexed, and there are millions of perplexed people in the world who are wondering what the hell is going on, and they're reaching out to find information. Well, what Google is doing is making sure that they don't get anywhere near Sarah Westall. They
That's
don't get anywhere
exactly
near
right.
Richie Allen, right?
Well,
Absolutely.
And I could tell with your videos that all of a sudden you dropped in half, and but your subscribers were going up. I'm like, oh, come on. And I could tell with mine, anytime a show starts to get some traction and I start getting subscribers, it's like drops like a rock. So I think you're onto something there. But now, are you going to get on BitChute or DTube or anything else? Or are you just going to really focus on your website?
Thanks for mentioning BitChute, because they got in touch. They seem to be lovely people, and they were able to grab quite a few videos off ours. There was many of them over the years. As the program got more and more kind of reasonably well known, some other content creators would take our interviews and would upload them to their own channels. I never had a problem with that. So long as they didn't monetize them, I never had a problem with that. I said, do it, but don't put ads on them. That isn't fair. But so there are still quite a lot of things on the internet. So the BitChute people were really nice. They connected me on Twitter, lovely people. And they said, look, do you want to come on with us? And I said, I'm going to have a good think about it. I'm not a big fan of cryptocurrency, Sarah. I've never been a big fan of Bitcoin. I have this thing about, you know, the cashless society. And I'm happy to be argued with, but it's the way I think. It's what I believe. So I'm not likely to go down that road. I think I'm going to try and host video, when I do video, which isn't very often anyway, on the website. And in the meantime, just work very hard on the radio show, which the radio show has a very, very healthy live audience. You see, this is the thing that thankfully we were able to build that up over 3.5-4 years before this happened. You know, we get tens of thousands of people tuning in live every evening. That's verifiable. So we've got that anyway. So I want to build that, build and build and build and build. And then I want to build the on-demand so that we're on Podomatic as it is, and we're on Spotify and that. I just want to keep drilling down into people's minds. If you happen to be interested in some of the content on The Richie Allen Show, this is where you get it. Go to the website. Don't depend on being told by Google or whatever that the content is there. And, you know, you're a businesswoman, Sarah. You're smart. You're educated. You know yourself that you've got to use your own space, because they will, the royal they, will do everything they can to make sure that only maybe 2% or 1% of your subscribers, and you've got thousands and thousands of subscribers on YouTube yourself, they will make sure that a fraction of those people even get an alert that you've done an interview with Robert David Steele or whomever. That's what they will do. And they will double down on their efforts to make sure that somebody who normally gets their information from Fox or CNN, but who's getting tired of it, wants a new angle, they'll double down making sure that that person doesn't find Sarah Westall. So we got to keep that in mind, I think.
So do you think this whole AI stuff is a precursor to what we're going to see as this continues?
No doubt about it. No doubt about it. I mean, anybody who's appealed to them is getting automatic appeals. It's funny. I said, you know, because I don't like to appeal to them, because I'm a stubborn old Irish guy, you know, I'm a stubborn man. I feel almost kind of subservient by appealing to them. So I didn't want to appeal to them. But I did appeal to Michael Rivero video, because I said, to hell, I'm not having this. Rivero says that the truth or industrial complex has gone crazy on the Virginia shooting. This was a genuine, this guy Bryce Wilson was it? I can't remember his name, who shot the cameraman and the journalist. He did it. He was mentally unwell. He had an axe to grind. And Rivera said, you know, we have to take some of the truth or stuff with a pinch of salt. So this is good, balanced stuff. So I said, I'm not having this. They're not giving me a strike on this. So I appealed it. And if there is a God, Sarah, he or she is my witness. I did that to send the appeal. And I got an email straight back to my Gmail saying the appeal was rejected. So it wasn't a human being. It wasn't. It's completely automated. No, gone. Forget about it. And I thought, right, all right. Well, you know, and my editor, Simon Stewart, lovely guy who did all that, you know, editing the show down and putting the interviews on YouTube, Simon was like, said to me yesterday, you just can't get to a human being, no matter what you do, you
So
know.
frustrating, yeah.
But this is it, you know, because at least with a human being, at least you can say, well, look, come on, let's go through this interview together. This is not harassing anybody. It's unfair of you to say that. Therefore, you know, forget about it and let's move on. But you can't speak to a human being. It's automated. And this,
well,
you're right, this is the way it's going.
How could somebody with 800,000 views a month not be able to talk to a person? I mean, are we that trivial? Are they that? I mean, what's going on?
Yeah, yeah. And you know, every one of us has an ego. Whatever we say, we've all got an ego. You know, and a part of me was thinking, yeah, it's nice in such a short space of time to get 76, whatever it was, 1,000 subscribers or whatever, and to get those views. And yeah, you know, you should, because you've generated so much traffic, you should get recompense of sorts. You should be able to speak to somebody. But we were small compared to some of the other people who've been targeted. Other people have been deleted. They've had 300,000-400,000 subscribers and millions of historic views.
And they can't even talk to somebody either.
No, that's right. No, you're gone. I mean, I got a final email from them 2 days ago, which was funny. And it was, you're gone, you know, and you, as in you, Richie Allen, you can't ever again have a YouTube channel.
Ever so, again.
Yeah, that's it. I can't.
What,
I can never have a channel.
What is wrong with you? You're one of the most professional people. What is wrong with YouTube? What's going on?
The world is
upside down.
Do you know what it is, Sarah? And I'm glad you brought this up. I can say this to you because of the way you carry yourself. We've got to get away from the personality side of it. I tried to state this clearly in an article I wrote for my own website. Nobody came after Richie. Richie Allen is a nobody. He's well known in the UK up to a point. I shouldn't speak about myself in the third person. I am. And I've got some sort of a following in various parts of the United States. But I'm a nobody. They didn't come after me. They're coming after content. It doesn't matter whether you've got 76,000 subscribers, 500,000 subscribers, or you've got 500 subscribers. It is the content they want to eliminate. So if you're talking about the teacher on CNN, well, they don't want people knowing about that. So if you're, Michael Murphy, Mickey Murphy, or if you're Johnny Smith, or if you're Josephine Smith with 200 subscribers, it doesn't matter. It's like the Matrix. You remember the Nebuchadnezzar ship, and you've got all these bots, you've got all these robots coming to destroy the ship. That's what it is with their algorithms. They're seeking out. Oh, right. And the machines are looking for somebody's talking about a CNN teacher. Delete, 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 delete. There's no human involvement.
This is the technocracy nightmare that we're talking about.
Yeah, absolutely.
This is the nightmare.
Yeah.
And it's being played out in front of us. And that's why you're scared of cryptocurrencies, because at that point now they got a complete control
over you.
Complete computer control. And this is what can happen to people.
They can destroy you. They can say, well, we're just going to... Sarah Westall, she's gone. Turn you off. Next thing you get a letter from your landlord, or you get a letter from the gas company. You didn't pay, but I have enough money in my account. I've got the direct debit set up. I don't understand why somebody's just done this. This is the cashless society, which, to be fair to him, David Icke has been lecturing on for 2.5 decades, long before anybody thought about
they're
money.
Doing this in China.
They're
now.
Doing it now. In China and in Cork, one of the most beautiful places in the Republic of Ireland, in Cork, they're virtually there. They're nearly there, cashless in the city. Can you believe it? Sweden is, you know all about Sweden. It's virtually cashless. Absolutely. Because once they get us where we've got our little debit card, our little credit card, and we're doing contactless, fantastic. Anytime they want, they can just do that. You're gone.
Well, in China, they are. They have these social points or something.
They're spot on.
And they turn people off, and there's like millions of people that are turned off. They can't take flights across. There's all because they talked about the wrong thing.
That's right. I'm glad you're saying that, because there will be some in the independent media who they're so fixated on what the United Kingdom and what the United States is doing in the Middle East, and all of that, that they are very reluctant to talk about the Chinese, because for the moment the Chinese are the good guys, because they might be standing in the way of a third world war because they would side with Russia and all of that. That's all true, and it's good. It's good that China might give the United States and the UK a moment of pause, but China is a bit of a hellhole for many of its citizens, let's be honest.
Exactly.
And what you've just described there is 100% right. Same with Iran. I like Iran. It doesn't threaten anybody. It's not going to cause war. It's not destabilizing anybody. And I would back Iran over Israel 500 times a day and twice on Sunday. However, Iran is not a nice place to be for certain people.
Exactly. Well, and I've had people say, well, so be it. China's going to take us over. They're going to own everything. And it's probably going to be a better place. And I'm like, oh, you know, we are really screwed up now, but look what they're doing. I don't know if it's going to be a better place.
No, of course it won't. Of course it won't. It'll be a tyranny. Just it'll look different. You know, you're absolutely right. It's really important you brought up that about people getting switched off in China. I saw an article about a month ago about that. And of course, it's very difficult to find somebody in China that you can get to come on and speak about it. I mean, you can get Chinese people living in the UK who will talk about it. But, you know, you want to get somebody in China to talk about it. It's very difficult. But you're right. This is where it's going, this technocracy, whereby we're ultimately all connected to this cloud, to this space fence, this 5G stuff, where we basically begin to live online, where there is never any point of any day that you are not living on the internet. I mean, how many people do you know spend their entire day on Facebook or on Twitter?
Yeah,
their
well,
entire
yeah.
day. I mean, they're never off there, constantly on there. Spoke about this last night with a guest on the program about the future of this. Yeah, it's crazy. And you have a situation where machines are deleting content from Google, and then you are appealing to the better nature of a machine.
Exactly.
I did nothing wrong. Please unban me to a machine. Madness.
Yeah, and I can see, you know, I that's what I did in my past life. I designed computer systems and responsible for this system environment. And so I get how this whole networking and all this stuff works, and it terrifies me, because when you have the data and you can connect all those dots, you know, like with the NSA program, the power they have, and then if they start to figure out our chemistry, which I understand they are, the power they have, the average person doesn't understand.
No idea.
It's very powerful. But I know you have limited time, and I appreciate you coming on the show so much.
Oh, she's brilliant, Sarah. Thank you.
Yeah, I love talking to you. Like I said, you were my go-to show. You were so professional. I my heart sank, and I could tell that you were being suppressed, and it's so ridiculous.
Well, look, thanks for saying that. But if I can give a quick plug for the website, richieallen.co.uk. Our program airs live Monday to Thursday. I should give US times here. We're on at 2 p.m. Eastern time, 11 a.m. Yeah, it is 11 a.m. Pacific time. And I think that's like 1 p.m. Central time. That's when it can be heard live. But it's always on a loop anyway on the website. The program repeats and repeats and repeats. But it's on podomatic.com as well, and it's on Spotify and elsewhere. So if people want to have a listen to it, make their own minds up about it, they might like it, they might not, but it is out there. Thankfully, YouTube was an archive point for us, but we were never dependent on its streaming capabilities and stuff like that. And I'm kind of grateful for that now, obviously. But no, thanks for having me on, Sarah. I'm delighted to be on. I'm thrilled. I don't get asked to do very much. This is the truth. Very rarely does anybody say to me, we'd like to get your opinion, Richie. So it's a nice change.
No,
so
I
really
love talking
that.
To you. I wanted to interview for you for a while. Now, what is your website?
Oh, yeah, it's richieallen.co.uk. And Americans are much smarter than English people when it comes to Richie. English people forever put a T in Richie. There's no T in Richie. It's richieallen.com, No, it isn't. It's richieallen.co.uk.
And I'll have it
so,
up here.
So have a look. Brilliant, Sarah. Yeah, thanks for that.
Keep going and keeping a light of inspiration for everybody. And I think your wisdom will help others as well. So thank you so much, and have an amazing day.
You too, Sarah. Thanks a lot. Speak again soon.